Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable unto thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
I had to search around for a sermon because I didn't want another prodigal son sermon so close on the heels of a Bible study dealing with a prodigal son. So I found one designated for this Sunday, but it comes from this Sunday's lectionary for the Episcopal Church of the United States. It was written by the Reverend Warren Shaw, who was in the Coosa when he wrote this sermon, and he used the lectionary for the modern prayer book. But the lectionary is based on the Holy Gospel, and he left Acusa a few months later, because this was right after they had elected as primate Catherine Jeffords Scory, and she had knighted to the primacy of the Episcopal Church of the United States. But sometime between her election and her ascension, Father Shaw left the Episcopal Church and came over to the Anglican Church in America. So he taught this in St. Thomas Church in Orange, Virginia in 2006. It's based on the reading, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" And in Shaw's words, "I've done some murmuring recently myself. There was rain all around us in June, but it seemed to be bypassing us, and the trees were drying out, the grass was turning brown, the flowers and shrubs were suffering, and the crops were simply burning up. I prayed for rain, but I didn't really want the rain like we got in July. I grumbled and complained then, and I told the Lord that these heavy downpours day after day were not really what I had in mind. I don't think God really cared that much about what I had in mind. Now we're back in a drought, and I still think he doesn't care about my murmuring. God always gives us what we need, but that is not what we want. That's when the murmuring starts. When Moses led the people of Israel out of their state of slavery in Egypt, they began to murmur against him and complain about the conditions under which they were living. Freedom was not working out as they expected it would. They were hungry. They even wanted to go back to slavery in Egypt. Then God sent down from heaven a strange kind of bread, which they had never seen or tasted or heard of before. They called it manna, and manna just means, what is it? The Bible does not tell us whether the people liked it or not. It does tell us that after a while they got tired of it, but the manna kept them alive. God did not give them what they wanted, but he did give them what they needed. So it is in the gospel for the day. The people are disappointed and they murmur about Jesus. Ironically, this murmuring comes in the midst of a discussion on the manna episode. The murmuring against Jesus echoes the murmuring against Moses. Jesus likens himself to the manna. He calls himself the bread of life, which comes down from heaven. He is, however, much more than the manna ever was. The manna kept people alive on the physical level, but the life that Jesus gives us is life eternal, because he shares his very own life with all who believe in him. That is not what the people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear about a Messiah who would be politically active, socially active. They wanted real physical food, not spiritual food. They wanted the Roman occupation ended and the old monarchy restored. They wanted a social revolution where the rich would be taxed to be given to the poor. They wanted the kind of things that our presiding bishop-elect seems to want. As I said, this was right after she was elected. But Jesus offered no such program. So the Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." The people were offended at Jesus for two reasons. First, he defined his mission in the world differently than they defined it. Therefore, he did not meet their expectations. Second, the people were offended by the outrageous claims that Jesus was making for himself. They knew, or thought they knew, his origins and his background. They could not believe that someone so familiar to them, and especially one of such humble social standing and appearance, could possibly be what Jesus claimed to be. They said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" The church in our day faces similar complaints. People approach the church with their own agendas and expect that the church will help them fulfill their desires. Some seek a full range of services, such as daycare for the children, recreation for youth, trips and other activities for senior citizens, support groups for people who are recently divorced or trying to lose weight or kick the smoking habit. There is nothing wrong with such activities, provided they grow out of the exercise of faith. But there is something definitely wrong when people think of themselves as customers or patrons, and when the churches scramble to compete to satisfy the market demand. There are some who define the mission of the church in terms of bringing about social change. Some expect the church to work directly in the political realm to promote worthy causes and worthy candidates. There are others who see the church as a source of funds and of publicity and of volunteers for other nonprofit agencies. But the church cannot define its mission by what the world expects. The church must define its mission as Jesus defined his, by its own conviction of what the will of God requires. We must offer the world not what it wants, but what it needs. And if that means that people murmur against us, so be it. We are in the best of company. The Jews murmured at Moses as well as at Jesus. That brings me to the second reason for the church in our day facing criticism, similar to what Jesus faced. It was not just what Jesus did or failed to do that people took offense at. People were even more offended by what he claimed to be. Jesus, at least in John's Gospel, is constantly taking questions and comments from the operative or functional level and responding on the ontological level. So they ask him a simple question and comes back with a philosophical answer. When the people asked what they must do to be doing the work of God, Jesus replied that the work of God is to believe in him. When the people ask him to give them the bread of life, he responds that he is the bread of life. When Thomas asked him to show him the way to God, Jesus said, "I am the way." When Martha talked about the resurrection of the dead, Jesus replied, "I am the resurrection." That makes people angry as well as confused. The church meets with a similar reaction when it presses its claim to be the body of Christ on earth and the vehicle chosen by God to transmit the truth from one generation to another and to all the people of earth. We are considered arrogant, bigoted, and intolerant when we make those claims. We are called upon, as Jesus was, to justify ourselves by what we do, not by what we are or what we claim to be. But just as we cannot allow the world to define our mission for us, neither can we allow the world to define our essential nature for us. We are what God has made us and called us to be. In sending his Son into the world, God gave the world much more than it expected or would accept. You, the church, are also more than what the world expects and will accept. You are the body of Christ, the chosen community of salvation, a colony of heaven on earth, the recipient and the transmitter of the grace and the truth of God. You must be faithful to that calling as Jesus was faithful to his. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as the most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.